Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
A lot of my clients have been through breakups, and they're now back on the dating scene. And one thing I'm hearing from my clients is how great Bumble is. Bumble has a goal of creating an environment where people feel secure and confident when they're connecting with new people. They've added new safety tools like photo and ID verification. And right in the app, they have a new dating advice hub, which provides expert support from the first message, first date, and more. Ready to meet someone great? Start your love story on Bumble.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 502.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and this week I'm sharing with you my conversation with Jocelyn Fitzgerald. Jocelyn is an EMDR consultant and an art therapist, and we talked about integrating creativity into trauma therapy. Jocelyn talked about the power of EMDR therapy when combined with creative arts, how she started using this work in working with child refugees, and she also discussed bringing psychedelics into EMDR and art therapy, the neuroscience of creativity, the essential nature of art in human development. She even talked about AI art, and she shares practical applications for therapists and emphasizes the importance of humor in the healing process. We had a beautiful conversation. I've been so eager to share this with you, and I'm glad that it is finally here. So let's dive right into my conversation with Jocelyn Fitzgerald. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so happy to be interviewing Jocelyn Fitzgerald, LMFT. Jocelyn, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. It's very exciting to me, as before we even started recording, we've gotten into this deep conversation that I'm just like, ooh, I feel like my very, all of my embodiment is present here for this. And it feels really like we're going to get into some interesting
stuff. Oh, yes. Stuff. I can't wait. Yep.
Me too. So before we get into that, let's start off by you just letting everyone know a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I like to wear a lot of different hats. So I am an EMDR consultant. I am a marriage and family therapist. I'm also an art therapist, and I do brain spotting. And so I like to mix it up and really create learning and experiences that are tailored to the individual client. I have a private practice in Vancouver, Washington, and currently I'm working a lot with first responders and psychedelics and EMDR and the creative arts. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell. I worked a lot with teenagers in the beginning of my career, and now I have a teenager, so I am wanting to be home more after school with him, which has kind of like shifted my practice to working more with adults.
Yeah, that's a great thing about our work is that we can shift what we do to make our life work.
Totally. So important. Yeah.
Now, one thing you didn't mention, but I know, is that you are also the co-author and editor of a book. Can you mention something about that?
Yeah. So it was kind of one of our pandemic babies. We wrote it, co-authored it with a bunch of therapists, EMDR therapists that all use the creative arts. And it's called EMDR and the Creative Arts Therapies. And it's a compilation of all these amazing therapists using creativity to help heal with EMDR.
That's exciting. And that's really, you know, our mutual friend Roten Breyer wrote the book, The Art and Science of EMDR. And one of the things that I was interested in talking about with him and with you is how EMDR can be creative because, as we know, it's a protocol-based method and, you know, you have to follow the protocol to be doing EMDR, but there are so many creative ways that people can use it that, you know, everyone in the general public certainly doesn't necessarily know about and many therapists don't know.
Right. No. I mean, and I think a huge part of trauma is that we get really rigid and we get really kind of black and white. They're all good or they're all bad. And I think creativity helps to open us up to new perspectives, new ways of seeing the world, and new ways of feeling into ourselves and our senses. What really got me excited about EMDR and the creative arts was when I was working with Catholic Community Services in their international foster program. This is what my chapter was all about. And I was working with a group of boys who had come from Eritrea through Ethiopia to the U.S. And in the beginning, I knew they had lots of trauma. I had heard from their caseworker, but their English was so limited that we were doing a lot of charades and a lot of art to communicate. And so when I started mixing art with EMDR, so I would have them draw images of a home, an experience from home or something that was made them feel angry, and then tapping into that or doing the eye movements, I could really start to see shifts in their healing and the way that they were relating to each other and not blowing up with their foster parents or running away from school. So I was like, gosh, we're really onto something here with the creative arts and EMDR. And I'm obviously a huge fan of the creative arts in general, but I think it's a great thing for people to start exploring in their work and their practice. I mean, whether or not you're an EMDR therapist, I think art, symbolism, just using bilateral scribbles, all of that can really help activate our clients in ways that are really powerful and healing that words sometimes don't get to.
As I hear you share about that, I just feel very moved I'm going to start crying, but about these boys that you were working with thinking that they're refugees. So, you know, I'm assuming they were escaping some civil war or violence or something. I don't know much about Eritrea or the time that you were doing this, thinking about coming from that harsh experience to something open like art where you can just make what you can't express.
Yeah.
It's very meaningful to me. Obviously, like really choke me up.
Yeah.
I just did brain spotting all weekend, everyone. So.
Well, it was so equally as moving to me too, that I actually, after working with them for several years, I was like, I'm going to go to your refugee camp where you guys came from and we're going to do a training and I'm going to work with people like you guys. And so we did. We went to their camp, me and one other therapist, and we taught the protocol to paraprofessionals. So the paraprofessionals were doing the EMDR and the creative arts. And we saw amazing results. These kids were just, there was so much hidden trauma beneath the surface that we couldn't get to with talking and having the art with the tapping. Profound, profound experience in my life. But they escaped from a horrible, harsh country where it was a dictatorship and people were being forced into conscription, which is like slave labor for being in the army and for an undisclosed amount of time. So they left. They're called unaccompanied minors. They left without their parents or their families and crossed the borders and had horrible experiences. Yeah, with lots and lots of trauma.
Yeah. So they're leaving something behind. Then they, in their escaping process, they're going through horrible things without any family or parents with them.
Right.
It's just so sad.
I know. I know. And the amount of refugees we have in the world right now is more than ever before. We need to find creative ways to help heal. Yeah. And if you don't have the language, you have to go to the arts, right? You have to go to what you know and symbolism and metaphor and imagery. Yeah.
That makes me curious about how open they were and the people, the other traumatized first responders too, many of whom have that really toughness culture and don't want to show softness are often, you know, I know from my experience, pretty skeptical of anything, even emotional. So to make art is, I can imagine it could be like, get that away from me, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So how open were they? And as a rule, are the people that you work with to this?
Yeah. I will say my adult clients are some of my toughest critics on the creative arts. And I know this is super controversial, but one of the ways that I found in is, well, I had one client that made me an image using AI art, and that was his way into the creative arts. And he was struggling, feeling like he was just so depleted, so burnt out. And he created, I asked him if he would be willing to make an image of his heart. And he rolled his eyes at me and was like, yeah, we'll see. I don't think so. But then he came back with this incredible image of a man inside of a heart, pouring out of his heart into everyone else's heart. And it was a long line of people all standing. And he created this using AI, which I was not a fan of. I still am very much on the fence. But it was a way for him to show his wife how he was truly feeling without words. And she got him in a deeper level and she started crying and he felt understood finally by her. And that was like, okay, I just am open to whatever it is that I can use to help people get into that creative realm, whether it's collage or gardening or cooking. You know, I'm just like, let's use our hands and our senses and activate our body in different ways so we can start healing.
Yeah, so I know I'm not a fan of AI art, and just like anything, we don't have to be totally black and white about things. If it's an entry point that helps someone find a way to express, then of course that's better than them not having that access.
Right. Well, and like we talked a minute about before we started, was like how often adults stop doing art because they don't feel like they're perfect or it's not good enough, or they've been told as kids, this isn't good enough. I have a client who's allowed me to share her story. She came to me in her late 60s, early 70s, and she's like, Jocelyn, I'm really happy to be here, but I'm never going to do art with you. And I was like, what happened? You know, why not? Why? And also, why would you come to me? Like, this is a huge part of what I do. And she's like, when I was in first grade, the teacher told everyone we were getting ready for open house. She told the whole class, I'm so excited to meet all of your parents. We're going to put up these coloring sheets we've been working on. Everyone's except yours. And she pointed to my client and she said, you chose to color outside the lines, so yours will not be being shown tonight at open house, which was the downfall of this poor girl's art career. She was done. She's like, I'm only creating art to get the grade. I'm never going to create for fun again. And it really shut her down creatively. And I was like, we're going to reopen. This is going to be new. We're going to work towards this. And so I had her coloring outside the line left and right, doing EMDR around that, feeling into her body. And it was a great way to heal that part of her that, you know, had been shut down. And now she's like, she's like, I'm doing these like creative quilting classes now. She's like doing these crazy collages. And like, she would only do things that were perfect or just not at all. And now she's like doing all these torn page collages. And so I'm like, I think these stories are more common than we realize. People get shut down because of this idea they need to be perfect, whether it's from a parent or a teacher. And it's really unfortunate because creativity is just for everyone. And it's not just for people that are artists. I mean, we all have the ability to create, and helping activate that in us helps us to see the world in different perspectives.
Yes, I agree with you. And I have, and I'll just say about AI art that when I look at AI art, I'm like, I don't like that. To me, I just look at it and I'm like, that doesn't have a feel.
No.
I don't feel a feeling when I look at that, except for that feels artificial. However, you know, I can understand how that very, very distant from feeling way of tapping into your feeling could be the right amount for someone when they're just starting to, you know, give a voice to that place inside that is really needing to be heard. And it's so that it's so protected.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. I work with the firefighters and using psychedelics and EMDR and creativity. And one of the firefighters I worked with, he would go after his ketamine, a psychedelic ketamine experience. And he would, in the beginning, use AI to create what he had seen. And now he's doing it all on his own. He sits and he draws after his ketamine experiences. And he brings that art in to see me, to show me. And so I can get a sense of what it was like for him. But before, you know, he needed that scaffolding to kind of get him to the place where he's at now, which is making his own art. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's like, it almost seems, I could be wrong, so I'm not an art therapist, but almost seems like his ketamine experiences are opening up that access to his creativity. But, you know, and I hope you can speak to this, like there's something that it just feels from inside, it feels like creativity that we all have access to, which is to make something, to make some kind of expression of something, whether it's an emotion, you know, something we envision, imagine, or wish for, or if it just feels nice, I don't know, I just want to draw this, you know, I don't even know why I'm doing it. But there's so much in that space when you start to go into that place where your creativity lives. It's like there's so much in there and I don't know how to explain it.
You're doing it. I mean, I think it's about connecting back to ourselves and connecting to others. And I think that's a huge part of what creativity does. And psychedelics, as we know, it opens up that learning window. It creates those new, that new neuroplasticity, which it gets shut down when we have a lot of trauma. The older we get, you know, life experiences. I was just at the psychedelic conference in Colorado and I was so amazed at what they were studying because of this opening of this learning window. Like they're studying people that have had strokes. And usually after 2 weeks of a stroke, your learning slows way down or stops. But you can give them psychedelics and you can open it up and you can keep learning how to feed yourself, dress yourself, or adults that have a lazy eye. They can give them a psychedelic and they can open up that window and they can learn how to use that eye again. So,
wow,
right?
That's
isn't that amazing?
Blowing my mind.
I know.
Yes.
I know. And they're studying, I don't know. This, I'll just say this one last thing because I could talk a lot about psychedelics. Octopus are really not friendly to each other. So they mate and then the male like literally takes off so he doesn't get killed by the woman. And they're introducing, they have this woman at UC Berkeley is studying MDMA with octopus, so ecstasy. And she creates these three tanks and in the middle, there's the empty tank and there's tunnels that go to the middle. She introduces a little MDMA and these octopus come together in the middle tank and they literally start snuggling. And so we're looking at this to help people with autism, how to connect and communicate better with each other by using psychedelics. Anyways, I love it and think it's like a really cool frontier to be a part of and that it opens up people's ability to create again. And activate that inside them, which has been cut off or shut down, you know, due to circumstances in life.
Wow. As a therapist, I have so much to say about healthy relationships, boundaries, and communication. But one area my clients always ask about is, how can I meet someone? Where do I even begin? When it comes to finding the right person, the first step is being vulnerable and putting yourself out there in spaces where you can connect with people. For example, on a dating app. So many of my clients prefer to use Bumble. Bumble has great safety features like requiring new users to provide photo and ID verification, allowing members to feel confident that the person they're talking to is genuine. When your therapist is a Gen Xer who isn't dating app savvy like me, Bumble's dating advice hub in the app definitely comes in handy. Their expert dating coaches share supportive tips and guidance all along the journey. Ready to meet someone great? Start your love story on Bumble.
I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Hormone Harmony by Happy Mama, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels, with over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide and 98% saying they'd recommend it to family and friends. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings and help you feel satisfied longer, and boost energy and helps stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your Hormone Harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CHAT 15% off today. Iron deficiency is one of the most common nutritional gaps, affecting about 1 in 3 adults, especially women. It often shows up as fatigue, weakness, brain fog, or brittle nails. The real challenge is that most people don't realize low iron may be the cause, and when they do, traditional iron supplements often fall short. They're poorly absorbed and frequently cause stomach issues, leaving people without real relief. That's why I love Citerol from PharmaNutra. It's a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea and constipation. Citerol is clinically proven, globally trusted and convenient. You can take it anytime. It fits seamlessly into your daily routine. If you're constantly feeling wiped out and foggy, like you're running on empty no matter what you do, this might be what you've been missing. Join over 2 million people who've already discovered Citerol and found the help they needed. Head to PharmaNutra-US.com and use code CHAT for 10% off your first order of Citerol. That's PharmaNutra-US.com and promo code CHAT for 10% off today. Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from client secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
So what I'm curious about the most with that is they gave MDMA to octopus and it affects them the same way as it does humans?
Yeah. Octopus are really, really smart. They're some of the smartest animals. And so they have similar brain compositions that we do. And so they recognize that dropping a little bit of that MDMA into their water would change them and create this more open, expansive, loving interaction.
Oh, wow. You know how they always talk about like threats of terrorists poisoning the water supply? It's like maybe someone could poison the water supply with something that would make us be nicer to each other, and we wouldn't have so much violence and hate, you know, culture.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I agree. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that I'm advocating for someone to actually do that. It's just more of an idea about what we need.
Yeah.
A metaphor. That's fascinating, though. And so, you know, it's like, I guess I'm wondering when you're working, I'm assuming when you're working with people who are refugees, who have been through horrible traumatic experiences, or firefighters who have been through terrifying experiences, you're working with them on the trauma they've experienced, I assume. But there's also this like just more expansiveness in their being from what you're describing that is happening through their work.
Teaching them how to be connected to their bodies again. I think they get really cut off that top down, you know, they're like all in their head, analytical and logical, but activating your body and sometimes just doing bilateral scribbles or mirroring with both hands. Sometimes I'll put music on and I'll have them just for the whole song, just dance with the two hands as they listen to the song. And I kind of love that a lot of my clients have these rings that, you know, monitor your heart rate, your blood pressure, your breathing. And they'll send me messages like, Jocelyn, during that exercise, look at what happened on my ring monitor. Like I actually was finally in a calm place. Like my nervous system was regulated because of the art and the creativity and the bilateral movements. And so anything we can do to help our people start connecting back to their bodies and to recognize that it's actually safe to be in their body is a really positive, powerful thing.
I love that. And the fact that the ring is measuring what their nervous system is doing. So it's like there's irrefutable evidence. This is not stupid. This is not frivolous. This is not childish. This is actually benefiting you right now. And here's the evidence of that.
There's a ton actually of neuroscience going on right now called neuroaesthetics, which is studying the way that our bodies respond with biomarkers. And they're studying things that we as art therapists have always known, which is just the power of creativity and healing. One of the studies I love to talk about is one from Drexel University where they hooked up the participants to fMRIs. So they're studying the frontal cortex and the blood flow to the frontal cortex. And just what they did, three exercises, each were 5 minutes. They did a doodle, they did colored in a mandala, and then they just did a free association drawing. And they found that they all had more blood flow to the frontal cortex. They all had better problem-solving abilities, which is fascinating and fabulous. Hmm. And then they all felt more relaxed. And when I read studies like this, I'm like, this is a no-brainer. We should be using 5-minute art exercises within schools before testing, before presentations, you know, and also first responders, even after they go out on a call, to come back and do 5 minutes of drawing or doodling or coloring, bringing you back to that regulation, you know, of your nervous system is just such a good thing. And our whole world is on fire right now, right? Like we need to regulate. We need to find ways to come back into our bodies and not be so reactive.
That's right. We must. The only way to survive is to continue coming back to our calm state when there's so much activating out there.
Right.
You know, what you said, that's really cool. The study you just talked about, because 5 minutes is not much. I mean, anyone can make time for that when they're in between something really stressful and the next thing. And even, you know, even maybe like if you're doing Zoom meetings and stuff, like if you had therapy and then you do something 5 minutes before or even as you're going into your next meeting, I would think that that could be really beneficial. I think about clients I've had who I'm trained in expressive arts with trauma. And when I was started doing that around 2015, and clients who just couldn't really get into their bodies, or they couldn't express what they were feeling. They just didn't know how to find the words to say what they were feeling. And they would be like, I don't know. I don't know. And I started using like mandala coloring pages that you can print off and colored pencils. And I said, well, how about if while we're doing our session, you know, you just color with this if you feel like it. And with the while coloring, they could say, I'm sad, or emotion would just flow out, even if they didn't have the words. When you think about art therapy, coloring a mandala page is not a very complex type of art therapy, right? But it's something so simple and accessible that, and it's so like requires no art skill, right?
But it's regulating and it's calming and soothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look back in time, every single culture around this planet has used mandalas for creative healing. I mean, the arts have been with us since the beginning. And I think we forget that. Social media scrolling has not. we need to get back into our bodies.
Electricity is
exactly
not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when we think about art from ancient times, it wasn't seen as just something to be beautiful, or it was like crucial aspect of development of language. And there's so much, yeah. Right?
Although I will say, I do think there are, we've found doodles in these old caves thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago in South Africa, where people were just doing it. It looks like hash marks, like hashtags all over rocks. And to me, it says like we were just using art to self-soothe. Even back then, there was no storytelling within that. There was no like, we killed a huge antelope and look what we got. It was just using it to soothe. And also bracelets. Bracelets really serve no purpose. And around the world, we found bracelets, like hidden bracelets in underground, wherever they're doing archaeological studies. And bracelets don't really serve a function other than to be beautiful, and they're aesthetically pleasing.
So there's the value of just the beauty too. And then there's the value of the function. But I was thinking more in the lines of like some way of us developing as humans, but I don't know enough about it to know what that would mean. So I was kind of throwing that out there, but
yeah. Yeah.
But I just feel like it's like, I think what I'm getting at is art is a, and that's including music. It's a need. Not a frivolous, it can be fun and it can be for fun, but it's also like something we need as people. So it's not, so I think what I'm trying to say right now, and I'm not sure why I'm saying this, is that it's necessary to access our creative part of ourself. And when it's shut away, there's something that's disconnected from us. That's kind of a vital part of our life force. It feels
100%.
To me.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that they find with serial killers is that they didn't play. They didn't create, you know, it's like we need that in order to learn and to become a whole person. So it's not just frivolous. It's essential. And we worry about kids when they don't create, when they're not playing, singing, dancing, doing all these things. I find it so interesting when I go to classrooms and teach, and I'll go to like a third grade class and I'll give them an art exercise around mindfulness and art. And then they all do their art, and then I'll say, who wants to share? And everybody raises their hand. And then I go to a high school class. Who wants to share? Maybe two people. And then I go to adults, and adults like nobody. Or maybe there's one person that's like, okay, I'll do it because nobody else is raising their hand. But yeah, we need that. We really do shut that down. And I think we're doing a disservice to our adults and to our full selves if we don't tap into that. And, you know, I think people often think, oh, art therapy is like pen and paper, or I have to be able to draw or paint. No, it can be, oh my gosh, it can be decorating a cake. It can be creating a beautiful garden or flower arrangement, or knitting or sewing. I think the more open we can be to just creativity as a whole, the better off we are.
Yeah. I know we have to close, but let's just take a moment if you could. Tell us what's in this book, in addition to the chapter you wrote, sort of what would be the takeaways that people could gain from it in terms of practice?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many practical ideas. For example, like Elizabeth Davis, one of the things she talks about is creating a timeline for her clients and using art and envelopes so they could create a little collage or piece of art for different time periods of things that happened and then put them in those envelopes. And then they could go back and pull one open and do EMDR on that specific little art piece.
Oh.
Yeah. Or you can use sand tray, create a beautiful sand tray of an experience you had, or even a sand tray of your safe place or safe state. I talk about how much, you know, I use, it's called Integrative Group Treatment Protocol by Dr. Nacho Herrero. And it's all about drawing the trauma from in four stages. And then you flip over the paper and you draw a future template. Each time you draw, you're taking a break and tapping into it. You're measuring it with the suds. But then Sherry Jacobs talks about using art with teenagers and how she uses it in her practice around creating boundaries and actually creating physical spaces and drawing out the boundaries. I mean, there's so many like practical tips that you can take and use and run with the next the next day.
So it's not just about the theory. It's about actual examples. Yeah, that really sounds great.
I'm going to do a workshop with Rotem. It's going to be for therapists. And it's just like kind of what we talked about, like creating these micro breaks. How do we take care of ourselves in between clients using art and creativity? And then also integrating poetry and writing. Also activating bad art. Like, let's create some really bad, playful art so that we can get through that and then move on to doing whatever we want. But I mean, and the other thing I don't feel like we talk about enough is the importance of humor in therapy. Like, we need to activate that side of us, because I think with depression and trauma, we shut that down. And finding ways to laugh again is so important to healing.
So true. And get out of our own ways, stop being so self-conscious. But of course, trauma does that to us. But you're giving examples of ways to break out of
that.
So the workshop you mentioned, will that be through EMDR Learning Community?
Yeah, with Rotem. I'll be doing it in October. Great. October 23rd. And I also made a few things for your audience that I want to share. Ooh. Different ways to do bilateral art, a worksheet for you guys. And then one around activating the body and then feeling into the body, doing a body map, and then transforming that into something else.
Ooh, thank you. So how will people get access to this?
I think I gave them to you, but I can also put them on my website.
And I'll put a link in the show notes. You want me to? Okay, yes. We'll figure out the details on how to get that, but I'll explain it in the intro when I record that. So, Jocelyn, thank you so much for coming to Therapy Chat today. It was lovely chatting with you, and I think we should probably try to do a second conversation because there's more to talk about.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's so wonderful.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
A lot of my clients have been through breakups and they're now back on the dating scene. And one thing I'm hearing from my clients is how great Bumble is. Bumble has a goal of creating an environment where people feel secure and confident when they're connecting with new people. They've added new safety tools like photo and ID verification. And right in the app, they have a new dating advice hub, which provides expert support from the first message, first date, and more. Ready to meet someone great? Start your love story on Bumble.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.